Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Federal Arbitration and State Public Policy Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 21, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Marmot Healthcare Center, Incorporated versus Brown. The question in this case was whether the Federal Arbitration Act, or FAA, preempted a determination by West Virginia courts that, as a matter of state public policy, pre-dispute arbitration agreements are not enforceable with respect to claims made against nursing homes for injury or wrongful death resulting from negligence. In a unanimous per curiam opinion, the U.S. Supreme Court vacated the decision of the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals, holding that the state public policy was preempted by the FAA. The High Court also remanded the case, however, so that the West Virginia Court could determine whether the arbitration agreement at issue was otherwise unenforceable under state common law principles that are not specific to arbitration. To discuss the case, we have Christopher Cradeville, who is a litigation partner at Dykema Gossett PLLC. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Cradeville.
This is Chris Cradeville at Dykema Gossett. I am a litigation partner at Dykema who works a lot in the arbitration and appellate field, and I'm here this morning to discuss the U.S. Supreme Court's very recent February 21st, 2012 decision in Marmot Healthcare Center, Incorporated v. Clayton Brown, which arises from the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals and marked a pretty sharp rejection of the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals opinion. Now, Marmot is a short and rather to-the-point opinion, particularly by modern U.S. Supreme Court standards. So let's just jump right in and discuss this succinct but, I think, reasonably important little opinion. Marmot arises out of some personal injury and wrongful death litigation directed at a nursing home in Marmot, West Virginia, a classic negligent care personal injury lawsuit. One of the real bread and butter areas for the plaintiff's bar, and several consolidated cases. I believe there are three nursing home patients who had sued, and the cases present an identical issue, and that's the contracts between the patients and the nursing home contained an arbitration clause stating that any dispute would be resolved via arbitration, really a garden variety arbitration clause. So when these lawsuits for personal injury and wrongful death were filed, the defendant nursing home sought to invoke the arbitration clause and quite sensibly to arbitrate rather than to take their chances with a West Virginia jury in a West Virginia trial court. Perfectly rational decision for the defendants to make. I think to the surprise of most, the West Virginia Supreme Court, or Supreme Court of Appeals as they style it in West Virginia, came in and said that a West Virginia public policy, a common law public policy at that, that prohibits arbitration in the context of personal injury and wrongful death was not preempted by the Federal Arbitration Act, the FAA, and that because of this West Virginia policy, the FAA did not apply and arbitration could not be compelled. Now, just a word about this West Virginia policy. It refers specifically to pre-dispute arbitration clauses. So in other words, an arbitration clause signed in a contract prior to any personal injury claim or wrongful death claim accruing. So an anticipatory arbitration clause. The West Virginia Supreme Court did not prohibit parties from agreeing to arbitrate after personal injury or wrongful death claim had accrued. It was merely in the context of these pre-dispute or anticipatory clauses. Well, nonetheless, this decision out of the West Virginia court seemed to go against a line of U.S. Supreme Court cases that broadly support arbitration and broadly support the FAA preempting contrary state law. Most notably, in the October 2011 term, the U.S. Supreme Court had decided the AT&T Mobility v. Concepcion case, a 5-4 decision that invalidated a California law that would prevent individual arbitrations and thereby circumvent class actions. It was AT&T Mobility v. Concepcion was a very hotly contested arbitration case and in many ways a much more consequential case than this term's Marmot decision. But at a minimum, AT&T Mobility set the table for this term's Marmot decision by holding that the FAA broadly preempts contrary state laws that would prevent arbitration. Even where, and it's a very important California policy or West Virginia policy, as in AT&T, where it was California favoring the class action device over individual arbitration. Well, skip ahead to Marmot. Now you have the West Virginia court saying there is no right to arbitrate because of this public policy, common law public policy, not something the West Virginia legislature had passed, but something the West Virginia courts had constructed. And they have that trumping the FAA and the broad, federally recognized right private parties to resolve their disputes via arbitration. Supreme Court granted certiorari and reversed the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia, really in unusually strong and unusually harsh terms, saying that, reiterating really the line of cases that includes AT&T, but earlier decisions, like the Preston v. Ferrer case out of 2008, which held the FAA preempt state law, granting a state commissioner exclusive jurisdiction to decide what issues are subject to arbitration. And then going back into the 90s, the Mastrobono v. Shearson-Lehman case, which held that the FAA preempt state law requiring judicial resolution of punitive damages claims. And going back into the 80s, the Perry v. Thompson case that held that the FAA preempts a state law requirement that litigants could not arbitrate wage disputes, and the wage disputes needed to be arbitrated in a judicial form rather than before an arbitrator. So this is a very strong 25-year-old line of Supreme Court cases, of which Marmot is just the latest and perhaps the most succinct member, saying that states simply must yield to the FAA's policy in favor of enforcing arbitration clauses, and that a state public policy cannot trump the FAA's policy in favor of arbitration. And really, the only way a state can avoid the FAA's policy in favor of arbitration under Marmot and its predecessors is if the state public policy isn't directed specifically towards arbitration, but is a general rule of contract law, general rule of contract construction. And obviously that's not the case in Marmot, as the Supreme Court recognized, because the public policy wasn't directed to contracts generally, but was directed to suspending arbitration clauses, suspending the right to arbitrate in the context of wrongful death and personal injury lawsuits. So it's a fairly simple case, but it's an important case because it's the latest reiteration of this longstanding Supreme Court policy favoring arbitration. I think one thing that's notable about Marmot is it's a 9-0 per curiam decision, when almost exactly 1 year earlier, AT&T v. Concepcion, the California case, had been a hotly contested 5-4 split court, split along the sort of the traditional 5 conservative block, 4 liberal justice block. The 5 conservatives favoring arbitration, favoring FAA preemption of the California class action policy, and the 4 so-called liberal justices holding in favor of the California policy over the FAA. Well, in the intervening year, the 2 factions reconciled, at least in the context of arbitration, and Marmot comes out 9-0, I think showing that the 4 dissenters in AT&T v. Concepcion have reconciled themselves to that being the state of the law, and that the FAA really does broadly preempt contrary state policies. In sum, there may come a day when the Supreme Court meets an arbitration clause that it doesn't like, but that day was not February 21st when Marmot was decided, and I don't see that day on the immediate horizon. This is a pro-arbitration court, as Marmot and its predecessors confirm.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.